Welcome to the Food Matters Live podcast, where we showcase the innovations, the big ideas, and the visionaries in the food industry. We dig deep, we look to the future and the past, and we question everything that we think we know about food. I'm Stefan Gates. I'm a food science writer, TV presenter, and a gastronaut. And this edition is made in partnership with Corman. Today, we're looking at the changing face of dairy. It's an industry that's been a staple of human society for centuries, and it's undergone a real revolution in recent years. Not just the innovations in dairy products and production, but the emergence and growth of plant-based dairy. And plant-based has enjoyed such sharp growth that it's difficult to get a handle on. The constant emergence of new dairy alternative products can be bewildering, but it's also exciting. Today, we're going to look at some of those innovations and ask, what lies ahead for plant-based dairy and the traditional dairy sector? It's an exhilarating time to be in the sector, and I'm joined by two fantastic guests from Corman, a company at the heart of the industry. Sylvain Maidi is the sales director at Biotechnology. Hello there, Sylvain.
Hello.
Fantastic to have you. And we've also got Adrien Lenièvre, Corman's ingredients marketing manager. Hello there, Adrien.
Hi.
Fantastic to have you as well. Now, Adrien, let's just start with you. Can you talk a little bit about Corman as a company? I believe you started off in 1935. What was the founding ethos for the company?
We are producing butter and milk fat for almost 100 years ago. And the starting ethos was to master all the knowledge of texture and flavor in milk fat. This is the main area of Corman. It's to have the best knowledge of raw material, such as milk fat, fat in general for texturized products, baked goods, all kind of products on the market. We wanted to simplify the use of butter and milk fat for customers, pastry chefs, and industrial manufacturers. And we were one of the first company to fractionate the milk fat in order to standardize the production of raw material for industrial manufacturers.
And some of your innovations have been absolutely fascinating. Sylvain, which landmarks are you particularly proud of?
In fact, our company is involved in two main businesses. We produce cultures and cheese flavors for dairy and dairy-like products. So we have acquired big background in the field of the cheese taste. We are cheese experts, okay? And we have transposed this knowledge and this experience, this expertise, to the dairy-like alternatives for almost 10 years. And we are very proud to be one of the main partner of the companies who started 10 years ago to produce vegan cheese from almond, from cashew. And they are now leaders of the market, and we are very proud to have helped them to develop their solution and to be considered as a key partner of those companies right now.
And Adrien, you're obviously got a huge depth of knowledge in the dairy market. What do you think that people are looking for from dairy today and from dairy-free alternatives?
Right now, there are three main concerns for customers on the market, dairy market, and dairy alternatives, especially on the European market and US market. It will be taste, health, and environment. For the taste, in UK market, people prefer to have a good product rather than a dairy alternative if it's not a tasty product. For instance, to succeed in the market of dairy alternative, you need to have a real good taste. It could be dairy or non-dairy, but people want to have the taste of a good product. It's one of the main reasons for people to avoid dairy alternatives if the product is not good. So it's really relevant to offer a product that is good in taste, texture, and other advantages. For the health, the main concern right now is about sugar, natural ingredient. And we try to work with mainly natural ingredients. And for instance, Sylvain, who is for the part of cultures and flavors in Saventia Group, the main group of Corman, he works with cultures, fermentation. And it's an important factor for the health concern of dairy alternatives consumers. Maybe, Sylvain, you have a word on culture regarding health.
Yeah. If we have a look, in fact, on the type of dairy alternatives which were launched for the last decade, we observed that there were the growth with the fermented dairy alternatives. It is two times the growth observed with the dairy alternatives alone. Let's say that there is a real interest of the consumers for fermented dairy alternatives. And this is the future, because those products considered as more healthier, because culture is considered as something which is very natural. And even when you propose a natural flavor, the image is not so good in comparison of the image of a culture, because everybody, all the consumers, associate the image of the culture with something which is natural and healthy. So this is a significant trend. And we are with Cormand and SB Bio, we have this capability to help our customers, starting with the flavors and then to help them to improve the quality of the product to make it, let's say, cleaner and go to the culture in a second stage. Okay.
Yeah. And for the environment aspect, it's one of the main reasons for people to switch from dairy to non-dairy products too. For the one who are really involved in environment concerns, they will switch anyway with a good taste or bad health. But for the one who wants to do the effort, we need to improve the taste and the healthy aspect of products in order for them to have the choice in the product market.
So it's a complex set of decisions that consumers are making. And I wondered, when people are looking at plant-based dairy products, do they want the same things as they get from dairy, the taste and the feel, Adrian, or is it an alternative that they're after?
So there are a lot of stats on the market regarding this, and it's a real question, because as a supplier of ingredients, we want to understand if people just want to replace dairy with another kind of good product, or if they want dairy, but without the dairy side, without milk, actually. And study shows that 60% of people search for the dairy taste, even if it's dairy alternative. And 40% of people search for a good product. The market is divided between both category, people who really want the dairy taste without the milk, and people who want a good product, any kind of good product that is dairy-free.
And veganism is obviously a motivating factor for using dairy-free alternatives. But what are the other reasons that people might make that choice?
So we discussed about environment. It's the main point for people to change their way of consuming dairy products. And veganism is for the animals and for the environment too. But there is two sides to this, because on one hand, we think that it could be better not to consume dairy products, but if the vegan products or dairy-free products are not better, it's difficult to choose, because if you use palm oil, tropical oils, additives, processed food, or nuts that use a lot of resources to be produced, you need to make a choice. And at Saventia, sometimes we think that the best will be a mix between both, so flexitarianism, and to choose the best from each category.
Okay, so Sylvain, let's move on to some of the solutions that Cormann's come up with in the dairy-free area. And let's talk about taste. How much of an issue is masking off notes, which I believe is a sort of constant problem? How have you addressed that?
For instance, we have solutions that we can propose for with cultures or with flavors. Regarding cultures, we have some cultures which are able to mask or to reduce the off-notes perception, meaning that you can significantly neutralize your base, and in a second stage, you can add another culture which is going to enhance the dairy taste, the creamy or the buttery taste to your base. So we have some cultures that perform quite well on the base of the customers, of course. It's never magic, okay? So you always need to perform some trials on the base to check if there are some specific process constraints. It's very complex, but clearly we obtain very, very good results on pea. Pea is it's a very challenging substrate, because green taste is very strong, and on soy as well, cashew as well, so we are able to neutralize. With flavors, of course, we had to our flavoring capabilities, some masking capabilities as well, which permit to neutralize as well the base. You know, when you receive a brief from a customer, most of the time they ask you to propose them a solution which will permit to match the aromatic target of Philadelphia. This is a very common brief. Okay, I want the Philadelphia taste. I want the Anchor cream cheese taste. Okay, this is very common, in fact. And they give us their base, and we realize that their base is very far away, but very, very far away from their target. So we need to find a solution. So sometimes they are not ready to go for culture, so we need to find the solutions with flavors. And in this case, we need to select among our cream flavors the ones that will better perform and better neutralize those green nuts. So we have developed this expertise, and which are also able to provide this true creamy, true dairy taste that they look for. So it's not easy, but if they give us a good base and a good target, we enjoy to address that kind of challenge. We strive always to give the closest, the best solution to our customers.
And the other really important element of dairy is its extraordinary texture. Now, is that another issue when using dairy alternatives? And how much of a challenge is it in your sector?
The quality issues sometimes can be very challenging. In fact, what is happening right now has happened in the 50s in Europe. It's exactly the same situation. There is a booming market for dairy alternatives, and the big difference is that in the 50s or in the 60s there were only two milks, cow and goat. But for plant-based, you have plenty different sources of proteins, cashew, soy, oat, and many others that I do not mention here. And there are many, many different processes. And everybody tries, strives to offer the best quality to match the best dairy taste with different processes, constraints, and different plant-based substrates. So quality issues are very common, especially regarding post acidification issues or contaminants with yeast on the molds that will affect the microbial quality of the product, and sometimes put big pressure on the shelf life of the product. So we also work on this, customizing specific solutions for customers. We'll take into consideration the contaminants that our customers face, and we will run some challenge tests with cultures that are able to fulfill the acidification kinetics which are requested, but also to delay the growth of the contaminants. Okay, and we have developed this expertise, which is completely, in fact, transposed from the dairy knowledge we have acquired. Okay, and we are able to propose that kind of service to our customers. So, of course, it is always a very specific answer, because each case is specific. And of course, and sometimes it happens that we do not have the solution, because we do not have always necessarily the good answer for everything. Okay, so but at least we strive always to propose an improvement in terms of delay of the growth, or we would provide some recommendations to the customer to fight against the contaminants. But so far, we have always been able to offer something, an improvement to the customer. So this is one point. The post-acidification is another point as well. So we need to acidify very quickly. And by the end, of course, offering a good creamy buttery taste is also a main concern for the customer, because competitors, the very big two, three big companies that produce cultures, they offer a very common, very global solutions. They have great products, but you cannot have a great product that will work for everybody. Okay, and our key difference is that we adapt, we fine tune, we adjust our proposal. So this is why we have the capacity to offer better performing solutions, because we have this capacity to adapt and to make something specific for the customer that those big competitors, they do not have, because they will focus on the key players on the market, but they are not in capacity to develop a specific solution for everybody.
Now, Sylvain, you mentioned the huge variety of dairy-free base ingredients. You mentioned oat, soy, there's sprouted brown rice, pea, cashew, almond, and I guess they all have different properties. I'm fascinated by these. Now, which are the most challenging ingredients to deal with?
Not necessarily the ingredients. For us, the most challenging point is always to offer the greatest dairy taste, close to a target, which is always more and more challenging, in fact. So this is much more challenging than the plant-based substrate on which we are going to work, because the customer by itself can also realize that sometimes when the base is not nice to heat, of course, he cannot ask to develop a product which will be exactly at the opposite of the characterization of the base. So it is much more the process constraints which are challenging than the base by itself. But let's say that pea is always a bit challenging, soy is always challenging, hot sometimes is a bit challenging regarding the texture. So it will depend. But most of the time, there are process constraints that are a bit challenging.
Yeah. And on the flip side of that, which ingredients give the most potential for a really true, authentic dairy taste?
I would say that it will depend. Let's say that with flavors, you will always get a very pure and authentic, true dairy taste, clearly, because you have more levers to trigger with flavors to match good taste. With cultures, let's say that the process is more authentic because it's a bit duplicated from what is done in dairy, in fact. Okay, but you have less levers to have a complete dairy taste. You have sometimes a very good product. For instance, I have in mind some specific cream cheeses, which are very impressive in terms of taste, but you always perceive a small difference. It's not exactly the same. And I think there is a point that the customers should take into consideration. At one moment, trying to match a perfect dairy taste, of course, it's because the consumers like that. Of course, it's a key objective. But wanted to get exactly the perfect match from a plant-based, I'm not sure it's always a good challenge. Maybe sometimes it could be better to find the right combination between the culinary taste and the dairy taste. Maybe it could be more profitable by the end. And investigate some new aromatic fields. I believe that, but...
It's incredibly difficult area, isn't it? Now, when you look at the trends in veganism, or I guess in flexitarianism, which do you find most interesting? Where do you see the most potential for growth?
I believe that after meat, dairy alternatives still have a great potential for the next years, clearly, especially in the US, where the market is booming. There are some players that become bigger and bigger year after year, more professional, I would say. So I think this is this segment which is the most promising for the next years, but maybe I'm a little bit influenced by my own sector.
So Sylvain, my last question is really just looking across the sector as a whole. What do you feel might be the next big innovation? Is there something brewing out there? Is there something out there that people are trying to crack which might really shake things up?
It's a very challenging question. Beyond the plant-based, of course, it will be the milk without milk, with the milk without cow. I think this is the next stage, but there are many companies that already work on this.
And that would be a real game changer when somebody cracks the how to resolve this.
Yeah,
absolutely. And Adrian, what about you? What do you think will be the next big innovation? What's the next big problem that needs to be cracked?
Regarding the field of Corman, the field of milk fat and fat applications, we are searching to create a texturized plant-based fat. In order to create a croissant, a texturized croissant and a texturized product in general, you need solid fat, which are often palm oil, tropical oils, or butter. So you don't have many choices. Or you go for palm oil, or you go for butter. But if you want to be vegan and to be careful about the environment, you don't have any other option. So it will be a real innovative ingredient to create fat without dairy and without tropical oils that is able to texturize products.
Adrian, in terms of dairy-free, do you think that the market will continue to grow as it has? And do you think we'll ever reach a point where it's peaked?
It has been growing for the past 6 to 7 years, 10 to 15% a year, and the trend is still going on. For now, we don't see a peak on this curve, so we can continue in innovating and proposing ingredients and new product development in the field, because it's a real trend and it will not stop in a minute in the next years. So probably that the market will stabilize with more flexitarianism, more extremely vegan products, and to choose between the best of each field. But the trend of using more vegan and plant-based ingredients and products is strong and will continue for many years.
Well, let's hope that somebody out there will come up with a solution to all of this in the near future. Sylvain Maidy and Adrian Leneve, thank you so much for joining me.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode. If you did, there are hundreds more at foodmatterslive.com. And remember, if you enjoy the Food Matters Live podcast, you can subscribe via your preferred platform. And if you feel inclined, why not leave us a review? Thank you so much for listening.